If there was ever a reason to read the readings of Mass before you get here, it's a good idea just so you know what shoes to put on. When you have a gospel like this, comfy shoes. When you have a short gospel, the ones that look good, okay? You gotta know, it's liturgical awareness. Anyway, I would first like to welcome everyone here today from near and far. Weddings are wonderful occasions filled with joy due to new unions and many reunions. On behalf of the Church of Incarnation, let me extend to all of you a very warm welcome and assure both families of our prayers this day for you. Because today, a bride and a groom are joined and a bond is made, one that cannot be broken. Christ is the bride. The Samaritan woman at the well, representing all of Gentile humanity, is the bride. What a beautiful day indeed. Now let's review our Old Testament so you don't think I'm a crazy person. Remember back in 722 BC when the northern kingdoms of Israel were taken over by foreign lands and kings? Yeah, everyone does. Anyway, they intermarried with the people that they were taken over by, which was a big no-no because they broke the covenantal relationship they had with the Lord. Now the southern tribes stayed free from intermarriages and stayed true to the covenant. Now marriage is indeed a covenant, not a contract. Meaning that it is a giving of two persons to each other that cannot be undone or broken. A contract is an exchange of goods or services, sometimes for money, that sometimes has penalties if broken. But a marriage is a giving of two persons completely in fusion, so it cannot be undone, even if one has been unfaithful. And the Gentile people have been very unfaithful. They have broken their marriage covenant with the Lord by worshiping other gods. In this gospel, they are brought back. They are regrafted onto the vine after they cut themselves off voluntarily. Now, lest you think I'm reading too much into the scriptures, let's look at them. The first reading is an example of unfaithful Israel. They are complaining to Moses enough that he thinks they are going to kill him because they are so desperate for water. They are ready to abandon the Lord, but Moses listens to him and provides water from the rock. And even though the Lord saved them, very soon after this, they would go on to create the golden calf and unfaithfully worship other gods. The people are thirsty. And we see in that physical sense, yes, the woman at the well is a person who is thirsty. But we also read this scripture passage in a different sense. There is the reading of scripture called the anagogical sense, which refers to the people of Samaria in thirst. Not for water, but thirsting for the Spirit of the Lord as a precursor for baptism. Psalm 42, David writes this, "As a deer longs for flowing streams, my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God." In ancient thought and worship, baptism was thought of as an act of drinking the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free person, we were all given to drink of the one Spirit." Ephesians 5:19, "Do not get drunk on wine in which lies debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." Now another version of this or another translation says, "Do not get drunk on wine, but drink deeply of the Spirit," or "drink richly of the Spirit." So this idea of having something to drink is quite a nuanced concept. It is, yes, a physical need for water, but also it is a thirst for the presence or the return of the presence of God that we had when we were in the Garden of Eden. So keeping that in mind, let's look to the gospel. Jesus meets the woman at the well in the middle of the day and asks her for a drink. Now, think back to your Old Testament. Who else met their future wife at a well asking for a drink in the middle of the day? Let me refresh your memory. Isaac meets Rebecca, Jacob meets Rachel, and Moses meets Zipporah, all at the well. So there is precedent for meeting the bride at the well at noon. Jesus asks for the drink for the same reason that Abraham's servant uses to see if Rebecca is the divinely intended bride for Isaac. He is testing the woman. Jesus and the woman begin to discuss wells of water. And at one point, Jesus says, "The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." Now, this is a subtle allusion to the Song of Songs, chapter 4, verse 15, when the bridegroom calls his bride a spring of living water. When we receive the water of Jesus, we enter into an actual relationship with him. Next, Jesus and the woman move on to discuss actual marriage. Jesus asks her to call her husband, and she responds that she doesn't have one. Jesus confirms this, and we all know he reveals his divine knowledge in saying that she has had five. He is not doing this just to show that he knows the woman's sins, but rather so that he can show that Israel as a people have broken the covenant they once had when they were in right relationship with the Lord. Yes, this woman specifically has a checkered marital past, but so does Israel, and that is the more important point. The northern kingdoms eventually tried to come back to worshiping the God of Israel, but they did so by making their own temple away from Jerusalem. In effect, they were offering false worship to the Lord because the Lord demanded that sacrifice only be offered in the temple in Jerusalem. And even though the bride is no longer spotless, the groom still seeks her. Meaning, though, even though the people of the Gentiles have gone away from right relationship, the Lord in his action at the well is drawing them back to himself. Jesus seeks out this woman and desires not to marry her, but to draw her and the entire Gentile people back to the Father. The ancestors of the woman at the well, the people of northern Israel, left their husband God centuries prior. Now God, the bridegroom of Israel, has returned to court the people of Samaria. The people are thirsting for God as a deer longs for running waters. The people of the desert at Meribah and Massa were thirsting. The people of Samaria, who are converted by the woman's testimony and their own experience of Jesus, were thirsting. They are thirsting, and the Lord fills their desire. He seeks them as he longs to graft the Samaritan vine back onto the people of the covenant. Jesus isn't just filling their hearts now, but they are baptized, and in doing so, brought into eternal covenant with the Lord. Their thirst is sated, and they are given the waters of baptism, the waters that grow internally into springs of living water. So when Jesus is having discourse with the woman and says, "Everyone who drinks this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst," he's referring specifically to baptism and eternal life. When does Jesus thirst? The only time Jesus asks for a drink in the Gospel of John is first from the woman at the well, and second from the cross. From his side on the cross, Jesus gives forth living water, for his side is pierced with the lance and outflow blood and water, the symbols of baptism and Eucharist. And by first being baptized in the Jordan, as well as giving forth the waters from his side, he gives us the waters of baptism, which will quench our thirst for eternal life. Our God is not a God just of the past that sought his people out passionately. He still seeks us. That is why the scripture exhorts us to seek so that we may find. For our God is always seeking our return to him and is there every time we do. Jesus loves you. He loves you personally. He loves you intimately. And he loves you eternally. It is not something that you can change, but we can reject it. However, the rejection of his love does not change the objective reality that he does love you. Just like the woman at the well was accepted by Jesus, she did not remain the same after her encounter. The encounter with the Lord should always cause us to change. When you come forward to receive communion today, or stay in your pew to pray, or come forward to receive a blessing, ask the Lord for a grace that you have never received before, so that by his grace you may experience his love in a new way today, so that you may be faithful for your entire life.